It's week 12, and we got 18 other games that we need to make picks on.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Welcome in. It's Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. Obviously, most active on X, even though not all that active on X for the most part. Is what it is. It's been a wonderful week thus far. Hopefully you are having a wonderful week wherever you might be. And we have got some games to go over. If you haven't already, go ahead and check out the midweek video, or the weeknight games video, the 10 biggest games video. And now I've got 18 other games that we're going to kind of rapid fire through. Hopefully you're ready for that. Don't forget, subscribe to the channel, like the video, and of course check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. To get these spreadsheets and whatnot, let's dive into it. Game number one, 11 a.m. Central Time on the Big Ten Network, Indiana. The number 2 ranked Hoosiers are hosting the Wisconsin Badgers, who got a nice upset win last week. Currently, Wisconsin, the number 2 strength of schedule in the country. They are doing their thing. Indiana right now, a 29.5 to 30.5 point home favorite, total of 43.5 to 44.5. Indiana typically beats the mess out of teams at home. They have basically all season. There's not a huge talent differential between these two. Indiana number 46, Wisconsin number 32, so Wisconsin technically the more talented team. They have technically played the stronger strength of schedule. But man, Wisconsin number 129 in PPA margin, Indiana number 4. And last week, Wisconsin, good gracious, their leading passer was their punter, who had a fake punt that he threw for 24 yards on. Now, granted, it was snowing, et cetera. They still found a way to get the win, 13-10 over Washington, but that one was at home in Camp Randall. This one, of course, in Bloomington. Looking at it, Indiana number 4 in points per scoring opportunity on offense, Wisconsin's defense number 24. So Wisconsin's still pretty good at keeping you off the scoreboard. They are number 95 in defensive red zone conversion percentage, but number 51 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. Indiana, on the other hand, number 1 in defensive touchdown rate in the red zone. Just bananas. Wisconsin, number 120 in points per game margin. Indiana's number 1. Indiana beats the mess out of teams, but they are banged up a little bit. Indiana 4-2 against the spread at home so far this year. Wisconsin 2-1 against the spread, even though they're 4-5 against the number overall on the season. They seem to play better on the road thus far. They are +5 on the road, for whatever that is worth. Points per scoring opportunity. Wisconsin is dead last at finishing drives. Indiana is number 1. I don't know how Wisconsin puts up points here, but also I think that Indiana could run into some problems scoring here. I think the number gets a little outrageous. My power rating has Indiana by 20. My stats projected spread does have Indiana by 29.5. The last 4 weeks number has Indiana by 43.87. I think I might be putting it mildly about Wisconsin not being able to score. They've been shut out multiple times this year. I think it could happen again. And even with Indiana banged up, I think they could still get to 34. Wisconsin maybe kick a field goal, something like that. So if this thing hit 31, I might think the other way. You're going to be hard-pressed to find me betting against Indiana at home. So give me the Hoosiers minus 30.5. Game number two, South Carolina heading to Texas A&M. This one, 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone on ESPN. Right now, A&M an 18.5-point to 19.5-point home favorite. Total of 47.5 to 48.5. And we didn't have the game pulled up, did we? Good gracious. So, power rating, I've got A&M by 17.7. Last 4 weeks, has got A&M by 17.57. And the projected stats spread has A&M by 20.67. Now, this thing opened at 17.5. It has been bet up since. The 48.5, it sat there for a minute. It's still available at some spots, but there is a little bit of money on the under with this. South Carolina, number 4 in current strength of schedule. A&M, number 29 in PPA margin. Number 90 for South Carolina. Just ridiculous. The South Carolina defense is not bad. Like, I don't think that's an issue. As far as finishing drives, A&M's offense, number 10. South Carolina, number 85. South Carolina is number 16 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. A&M is number 98 in defensive touchdown rate. So as bad as this South Carolina offense has been, you know, they did fire Mike Shula. They are coming off of a bye week. What should we expect from the South Carolina offense? Not totally certain. I keep waiting, and I'm just like everybody else. You just kind of keep waiting around to see, is A&M going to blow it? They haven't thus far. This looks like a completely different kind of team. Elko and company are doing a fantastic job. Colin Klein with this offense. Jay Bateman's defense, though, leaving a little bit to be desired. They're number 20 in defensive success rate overall, but number 62 in PPA allowed per drive. That's predicted points added. They are number 126 in PPA allowed per rush. Find that interesting. Number 97 in rushing explosiveness. Now, South Carolina is bad at everything, but they are talented enough. Number 18 in overall talent rank. A&M is number 10. This is the kind of team that can muck things up. Yeah, some teams have been covering against them. There's just a lot of talent here. And A&M, I mean, that November air gets a little more thick this time of year, especially when you're chasing after an undefeated season when you average about 8-4. Like, it's been a long time since A&M had a 10-win season there. I think sleepy early slate, South Carolina can make them at least uncomfortable enough that I think they can hang within 19.5. I mean, this number just keeps on ballooning. If it gets up to 21 by game day, I'll be on this one. But as far as the show goes, right now, I'll take South Carolina plus 19.5. Game number 3, 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone on FS1. Arizona is going to Cincinnati. Arizona, big win over Kansas last week. And right now, my stats predict, well, let's tell you what the actual number is. Cincy minus 6.5 right now, 56 to 56.5, the total on this one. I've got Cincy by 5.16. The power rating has Cincy by 3.2. Last 4 weeks has got Cincy by a little over a field goal. Coming off of a bye week, Cincinnati got absolutely humbled by Utah. Arizona's offense doesn't exactly leave a lot. Let me take that back. It leaves a lot to be desired. How's that? Number 112 in passing success rate. Number 66 running success. So, we'll start with them on the offensive side of the ball. The Wildcats are number 30 in PPA per rush. They're number 13 in rushing explosiveness. Number 15 in offensive line yards. Number 49 in stuff rate allowed. Cincy's defense is number 118 in offensive line yards allowed, number 131 in stuff rate, number 99 in PPA per rush. Arizona doesn't like to run it a bunch, but I think it would be wise for them to do it as often as possible in this ballgame. As far as finishing drives, Arizona number 82 in points per scoring opportunity, Cincy's defense number 75. Okay. Turnover margin, Arizona number 10, Cincy number 49. Cincy doesn't turn the ball over, but they also are really bad at generating turnovers. So, penalties per game, Arizona number 59, and Cincy number 117. When Cincy is on offense, here's the thing. They are really good throwing the ball and running the ball. Arizona is number 97 in rushing success rate allowed, but they are number 42 in yards allowed per rush. So Cincy, I think, can run the football on them. Arizona's defense really good against the pass. Number 6 in havoc rate. Cincy is number 16 in havoc allowed. If Arizona can get home at the quarterback, yeah, Cincy could end up having a lot of trouble. This thing came up a little bit. Yeah, let me take that back. I think it went down and then it came up. But it's Cincy minus 6.5 is the number. I'm going to trust the power rating. I'm going to trust the last 4 weeks. And even the stats projected spread doesn't have it at 6. I think this is too many points. I think Arizona is good enough even on the road. You look at their number, they're 1-2 against the spread on the road, but Cincy is only 3-2 against the spread at home. So it's not like there's a clear advantage either way. Special teams in favor of Cincinnati, number 23 to number 100. I still think Arizona can hang around here. These are the kind of Big 12 games that are supposed to come down to the wire. I think this is probably a field goal game. So, I mean, we could be looking at 31-27, something along those lines, and that would not shock me in the slightest. So give me Arizona to cover 6.5. Arizona plus 6.5. Game number 4, 11:45 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on the SEC Network. Arkansas traveling down to Baton Rouge to take on Frank Harris and company. Boy, that's a mess down there, isn't it? LSU currently favored by 5.5, total of 56.5 on this. Arkansas has not won a conference game yet. And yet, they are number 10 in PPA per drive on offense, number 9 in offensive success rate. LSU gave it their best shot against Alabama last week. They did bench Garrett Nussmeier. When your offensive line cannot block, what do? You go to the mobile quarterback, which is exactly what they did. And Michael Van Buren is playing. I don't know if he's necessarily starting this weekend, but if you want to be able to put up points, although Garrett Nussmeier probably would be able to put up some points against this Arkansas defense. Number 127 in PPA allowed per drive. Yikes. Just rough. LSU is number 81 in PPA per drive on offense, number 47 on defense. I'm curious, how much is left in the tank for Arkansas? Are they just going to fight? You know, they have gotten beat by 3 so many times. They did lose to Auburn by more than that, but man, they gave the ball away a lot. And I mean, you look at this turnover margin, number 120 for Arkansas. They just turned the ball over in the worst possible spots, number 110 in giveaways per game. LSU was number 35 in turnover margin. LSU not great on special teams, number 81. Arkansas is number 16. Both of these teams inside the top 30 as far as overall talent rank, but LSU is number 5 in that. When Arkansas has the ball, they are number 22 in points per scoring opportunity, so they're really good at finishing drives. LSU's defense, number 56. LSU is number 95 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. That's not good because Arkansas is number 1 in offensive red zone touchdown rate. On the other side, when LSU has the ball, they can't run it. Although they might have some success here, because, good gracious, yards per rush, LSU is number 116. Arkansas's defense is number 113. So if you were ever going to be able to move the football on the ground, it would be in this spot. Passing the football, LSU throws it over 58% of the time. They're number 36 in passing success rate, but they're number 130 in passing explosiveness. Arkansas is number 131 in passing explosiveness allowed. So this Arkansas defense is really, really bad. I've got LSU by 5.84, so I'm right on the number. My power rating has LSU by 5.6. My last 4 weeks has LSU by 8.26. Frank Harris, first game coaching in Baton Rouge. You got to think they're going to be fired up for this. They want to get a good win. I mean, I'm right on the number. I'll go with the last 4 weeks. I wonder how much Arkansas has left in the tank. That's what I'm curious about. This was a night game. It'd almost be a no-brainer, but I will take LSU minus 5.5. I don't feel great about it because you never know what to expect from either one of these teams, but I will take the Tigers Tigers minus 5.5. Game 5 at noon Central Time on TNT. West Virginia goes to Arizona State. Big win for West Virginia over Colorado just last week. Arizona State, an 11.5-point home favorite, total of 48.5. Remember, this is the Jeff Sims show. Sam Levitt is out for the year with an injury. My projected stat spread has Arizona State by 9.5. My power rating has Arizona State by 8.6. My last 4 weeks has Arizona State by almost 13 points, 12.59. West Virginia on the road, 2-3 against the spread. Arizona State at home, 2-2-1 against the spread. So neither team a real advantage when it comes to that. Five factors rank with West Virginia is actually better, number 79. Arizona State, number 85. Some of the Arizona State wins make no sense to me. How did this team beat Texas Tech? You had everybody healthy, I understand that, but like I just don't understand it. They're number 136 in special teams efficiency. They are number 74 in PPA margin. Their defense has played a little bit better as of late, number 56. But they are also number 81 in defensive success rate allowed, number 101 against the run. If you're doing that against the run, Rich Rod and company run the ball over 60% of the time. Scotty Fox looking a lot better at quarterback. They've got two straight wins. They need to win their last two in order to get to a bowl game. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, turnover margin, number 35 for Arizona State, number 57 for West Virginia. West Virginia just overall, not a great football team, but they are pretty good against the run, and that is exactly what Arizona State is going to try and do. They're number 29 in PPA per rush, excuse me, number 35 in yards per rush. West Virginia is number 36 in both of those metrics. So this is interesting. West Virginia, number 22 in stuff rate, number 13 in offensive line yards allowed. Arizona State, 35 and 63 in those. Points per scoring opportunity. Arizona State, number 115 in finishing drives. West Virginia's defense, number 73. On the other side, West Virginia, number 80. Arizona State's defense, number 80. This feels like a close game to me. I understand, you know, my projected stat spread has it at 9.5. That's lower than the 11.5. I'm going to go with the Mountaineers. I know they hadn't played great on the road by any stretch of the imagination. I know that their PPA margin is significantly lower than Arizona State. I just don't know what Arizona State really has left to play for. I guess, I mean, they've only got two losses in the Big 12. And I do like Kenny Dillingham, but Rich Rod's been doing this a long time. I will take West Virginia to cover this number. I think the number's just gotten a little too big. Give me the Mountaineers, plus 11.5.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo code, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you haven't already, subscribe to the channel, like the video, and of course, give me your picks in the comments. I want to know what you're taking on some of these, so go ahead and tell me. And if you want to tell me on all of them, I'm totally fine with that too, but jump in the comments and help me out here. Game number 6, we move to the Big 12, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Fox. UCF heads to Texas Tech. Massive win for Texas Tech last week. This is certainly a letdown spot after a big win over BYU. Man, this number, Texas Tech is favored by 23.5 to 24, depending on the book. 47.5 to 48 is the total. So the total has come down some. UCF's defense, actually pretty good, number 23 in PPA allowed per drive. They are number 27 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Texas Tech, number 55. On the other side, points per scoring opportunity, Texas Tech's defense is number 8. UCF's offense number 92. So I don't think UCF is going to have a lot of success being able to score here. UCF number 125 in offensive red zone touchdown rate. Yikes. There's a reason why Tech is favored here by this much. They are 6-0 against the spread at home. UCF is 1-2 against the spread on the road. You know, you're talking plus 6.4, and the numbers were pretty inflated to begin with. UCF minus 10.3 against the number thus far on the road. You know, Texas Tech number 70 in turnover margin. They're number 3 in takeaways per game. I start looking into this, and the offense for Texas Tech, they're better at throwing the football than they are running it. They're number 81 in offensive line yards, number 78 in stuff rate allowed. UCF's defense is number 80 and number 92 in those stats. Texas Tech number 52 in PPA per rush. UCF's defense is number 78. Rushing success, Tech number 56, UCF number 107 as far as their defense is concerned. But when it comes to passing, UCF's defense is number 9 in PPA allowed per pass. Tech is number 26. Baron Morton still does not look super healthy. Maybe not making the best decisions overall. And yet, I don't think it's necessarily going to matter. The question is whether or not they can score, because I expect UCF maybe put up 10 points. My projected stat spread has Texas Tech by 21.5, right? Or 21.6, I guess, if you want to round it. Power rating has Tech by 17. Last 4 weeks has Tech by 23.5. So my projected score here is about 38-16.5, somewhere around there. And so if UCF is going to put up maybe 2 touchdowns, can Texas Tech get over 40? I don't know. I don't necessarily trust them right now, not with the way that they're looking. And UCF's defense is not terrible, and they're pretty good against the pass. They are number 20 in passing explosiveness allowed. That's typically how Tech is able to run up scores and whatnot. I think that UCF's defense will be able to hold on to them a little bit because it's a letdown spot. You know, Tech got through their biggest hurdle. Now they're, you know, everybody's got them in the playoff. Everybody's got them winning the Big 12, all that. And they are at home. Maybe it's a little easier to relax here. I think this number has just gotten a little too big. I might be the only person on the planet that takes UCF. But since it's now at 24, give me the Golden Knights. Or the Knights, I guess. UCF Knights. Plus 24. 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. NC State heads to Miami. Miami currently a 14.5-point favorite at home. Total of 55.5 to 56, depending on which book. And my stats projected spread has Miami by 17.4. My power rating has Miami by 14. My last 4 weeks only has Miami by 10.81. NC State, like Miami back up there, I guess projected to win, or I guess win the ACC. I saw them in the playoff bracket tonight. I'm recording this late on Tuesday evening. So, you know, you're back to having expectations again. NC State's defense, really bad. They're number 105 in PPA allowed per drive. That's projected points added, or predicted points added, whatever you want to call it. They're number 68 against the pass, but they are number 33 in defensive success rate allowed overall. Miami number 19 in offensive success rate, number 14 in defensive success rate. NC State's offense, pretty good, but really they're best at throwing the football. Well, Miami is really good at defending the pass. Number 12 in yards allowed per attempt, number 21 in QBR allowed, number 29 in passing success rate allowed. NC State number 19 in PPA per pass, number 29 in yards per pass attempt, number 25 in QBR, and number 38 in passing success rate. But they are number 86 in havoc allowed. If Miami can get to the quarterback, CJ Bailey's going to have a long, long day. Now on the other side, let's look at finishing drives. NC State, they're number 104 in scoring opportunities per game, so only 5.56 drives per game do they get a first down inside the opponent 40. They're number 18 in points per scoring opportunity, so they're able to finish drives when they get down there. Number 6 in the country in offensive red zone touchdown rate. Miami is only number 53 in defensive touchdown red zone rate. On the other side, Miami number 20 in points per scoring opportunity. NC State's defense number 96. NC State allows 30.6 points per game. I think this Miami offense could eat them alive. And the Miami defense, probably not going to let them score a whole lot, I would not imagine. And so, especially once they get down close to the goal line, like NC State went off on Georgia Tech. If there's one thing that you can say about this football season, is that hardly anybody is consistent. NC State, good game against Georgia Tech. Miami, they've been looking to bounce back quite a bit. They did well against Stanford. They did well last week against Syracuse. Got fired up against that bunch, against Fran Brown. But part of me wonders if this number maybe isn't high enough, because I think Miami could absolutely shut down that NC State offense, and they're going to be able to put up points on this defense. NC State is not great at generating turnovers. That seems to be how teams are able to beat Miami or stay within a number against Miami. NC State number 109 in takeaways per game. They're number 93 in interceptions thrown per pass, or interceptions gained per pass defended. I don't expect Carson Beck to throw a lot of picks here. Miami number 10 in five factors rank. NC State number 58. First half point margin, Miami 14. NC State number 94. You know, in Miami 4-3 against the spread at home, NC State is bad on the road. They are 1-3 against the spread, minus 6.5 on the road. I'll take Miami to be able to handle this. I know it's weird. It's November. Mario does not cover in November. This feels like the kind of game where he would, though. So I will take the Hurricanes, minus 14.5. Game number 8, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on CBS. The 3-6 Penn State Nittany Lions visit the 3-6 Michigan State Spartans. Somebody is being eliminated from a bowl game on Saturday. Penn State has lost 6 straight games. They have not beaten an FBS opponent this year, but they were right there with Indiana. And how much of a letdown was that really? Penn State favored by 7 to 7.5, depending on the book. Total of 49.5 to 50.5. Same thing there. My stats projected spread has Penn State favored by 10. Power rating has Penn State by 9. Last 4 weeks has Penn State by 3.83. Aiden Childs has been benched. The offense has gotten a little bit better for Michigan State. Michigan State is at home, but they are 1-4 against the spread at home. They cover on the road. They cannot cover at home. Minus 8.4. Penn State 1-2 against the spread on the road. They are minus 11.7. in those spots. Now, part of that was the Ohio State game, but also part of that was the UCLA game on the road where they were favored by 24 and lost the game outright. That'll kill your numbers. Kill them. Penn State, pretty good against the run, or pretty good running the football. We'll say that. I don't know about against the run. As far as when they are on offense, first off, they're number 8 in special teams efficiency. Number 75 for Michigan State, so that's certainly not good. Penn State's still the more talented team. I'd look for Penn State to run the football a lot here. They're number 28 in PPA per rush. Michigan State, number 112. Offensive line yards, they're both number 46, but stuff rate allowed for Penn State is number 27. Stuff rate for Michigan State's defense is number 104. Standard down success, Penn State number 38, Michigan State number 119 on defense. I think Penn State can stay ahead of the chains. I don't expect them to be able to throw the football very much at all. They already throw it only 46% of the time. It might be less than that here. But even then, you should still have some success against this Michigan State defense. On the other side, Michigan State is, let's see, number 89 PPA per rush. They are number 65 in PPA per pass. The pass defense is the thing that's actually really good for Penn State. Number 33 in yards allowed per attempt. Number 22 in pass rate. Number 65 in passing success. Number 42 in passing explosiveness allowed. Michigan State is number 65, 63, 59, and 79. And then 89 in passing explosiveness in their passing metrics. Penn State, number 33 in offensive success rate. Michigan State, number 109 in defensive success rate. I think Penn State's actually going to put up some points here. Just overall team, Michigan State, number 105 in PPA margin. Penn State, number 53. These are two bad football teams, and yet Penn State still, I think, pretty good. Overall, five factors rank. I don't know how it's possible. Penn State is number 12. Michigan State is number 102. I think with Jim Knowles and Andy Kotelnicki, they're going to be able to win this game. I think they can win the game going away. So I will take Penn State to win their first FBS game of the year, and I think that they will cover doing it, partly because of how bad Michigan State has been at home. I'll take Penn State. Best number I can get right now is 7. Give me the Nittany Lions. Game number 9. That's right. 2:30 p.m. Central Time on FS1. Maryland heads to Illinois. Illinois right now a 14.5 to 15.5 point home favorite, total of 52.5 to 53.5. Illinois is 4-1 against the spread at home. Maryland 2-1 against the spread on the road. Found that number to be very interesting. Maryland, it feels like, other than the Indiana game, and then of course last week against Rutgers, the wheels kind of fell off for Maryland last week. But this feels like the kind of game where, you know, Maryland is 4-5. They need two more wins to make it to a bowl game. Can you surprise Illinois? Illinois seems to have one of these games in there basically every year that they lose that they shouldn't. Maryland's offense is not very good. But, you know, number 68 in passing success rate. Illinois' defense, number 133. I do think Maryland and Malik Washington are going to be able to throw the football on this Illinois defense. The Illinois secondary has been a disaster. Now, they've had a bunch of injuries and whatnot, but still. On the other side of the ball, Maryland's defense is actually not bad. Number 24 in PPA allowed per drive. They're number 49 in defensive success rate allowed. You got strength on strength, weakness on weakness here. Illinois' defense, number 128 in PPA allowed per drive. And yet they're sitting at 6-3 thus far on the season. Weird spot in the calendar for these two. Maryland, second straight road game. They had to play at Rutgers last week. They got demolished at home by Indiana the week before. My last 4 weeks has Illinois favored by 15.5. Power rating has Illinois by 11.8. Projected stat spread has Illinois by 11.4. Points per scoring opportunity, Illinois' offense, number 17. Maryland's defense, number 28 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. And on the other side, Maryland's offense, number 107 in points per scoring opportunity. Illinois' defense, 126 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Maryland, I mean, just can't finish in the red zone, can't finish drives, and yet Illinois can't stop anybody from scoring. On the other side, offensive red zone touchdown rate, Illinois is number 46. Maryland's defense, number 16. Yeah, this thing's at 54.5. My projected total on this is 46.5. So I would expect under. But it kind of depends on whether or not Maryland continues to play like they have been. I think they show up here. I think this is one of those spots. I will take Maryland. I mean, the number, I think, has just gotten outrageous. 15.5 is the biggest number we can get. I'll take Maryland. Yeah, I don't think I'm scared of that. So give me the Terrapins plus 15.5.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostsleeves.com.
Game number 10, 2:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on ESPN+. Plus. You're going to need your streamer for this one. App State goes to James Madison. James Madison, a 21 to 21.5 point home favorite, total of 53.5 to 54. Okay. Okay. Really big number, especially for App State. But this App State team is nothing to write home about. They are 4-5 thus far. Against the spread on the road, App State 2-2. They are minus 1.8. And good gracious, James Madison is 3-1 against the spread at home. plus 10.8. They get to a point where they can kind of waylay teams, and their offensive numbers have gotten way better. Like, way, way better. If they decide that they're just going to run the football here, App State can slow them down. App State's defense, number 19 in PPA allowed per rush, number 26 in yards allowed per rush, and they are number 13 in rushing explosives allowed. They're only number 65 in rushing success rate. James Madison's offense is good at running the football. Number 31 in PPA per rush, number 18 in yards per rush, number 43 in rushing success rate, number 35 in rushing explosiveness. I think App State can kind of line up and man up with them. James Madison is pretty good at throwing the football, but they do it about 38% of the time. They're number 26 in passing success rate. App State's offense, number 95. Number 39 in PPA per pass. App State's defense is number 97. You're looking at the number 42 PPA per drive offense in James Madison. Number 83 PPA per drive defense in App State. On the other side of the ball, when App State has it, I don't know how they score. Like, I'm looking at numbers. I don't know how they score. Points per scoring opportunity, App State is number 76. James Madison is number 29. Scoring opportunities per game, James Madison only allows four drives per game where the opponent gets a first down inside their 40-yard line. And they're number 29 at allowing points whenever they do get down there. App State is number 67 in scoring opportunities per game, number 76 in points per scoring opportunity. I don't see it. But I will tell you that this number has been inflated. Right? Five factors rank, James Madison number 35. Oh, good gracious. Number 104 for App State. Just really not good. And App State technically is the more talented team overall, which is terrifying to think about. This number started at 19.5. It's gotten up to 21.5. I do still think that the number has gotten a bit too big. Part of me wonders about the rankings, right? So my projected stat spread has James Madison by 18.5. Power rating has James Madison by 16.4. But the last 4 weeks' numbers would have James Madison by almost 29 points. So I get why this thing would go up to 21.5. But James Madison, only one loss on the season, number 115 in current strength of schedule. And when the playoff rankings were brought out tonight, how does James Madison react, right? Do the Dukes run up the score here and try and find a way? Because South Florida was in the rankings with two losses as the number 24 team, which means that if they went out, they would get the Group of Five playoff bid, even with two losses. James Madison, however, you know, how do they respond to this? I think the number's gotten a little bit inflated. We saw James Madison favored by a bunch of points a couple of years ago when Kurt Cignetti was still there, and App State, now they had Joey Aguilar at the time, but App State went in there and won the game in overtime. I think the number's too big. And then once it crossed three touchdowns, it was time to come back the other way. I will take App State plus 21.5. I think they show up in this one. Game number 11 to the AAC, North Texas hosting, no, North Texas heading to UAB. How about we actually pull up the game here? This one is 1 p.m. Central Time on ESPN Plus. Again, going to need your streamers for this one. I just wanted to talk about North Texas. I mean, I probably could have talked about Memphis and East Carolina. Probably could have talked about any other number of games. Tulane and Florida Atlantic or whoever it is. But instead, I'm going to talk about North Texas because, good gracious, number 23 in PPA margin, number 14 in PPA margin per drive on offense. They're number 11 in offensive success rate. Drew Mestemaker is awesome. Just point blank. And the fact that UAB cannot stop the pass, now they can't really stop anything, which is part of the problem here. North Texas, by the way, favored by 18.5, total of 69.5 on this. I've only got North Texas favored by 14.5. My power rating has North Texas by 12.4. My last 4 weeks has North Texas by 13.5. And yet, the 18.5 does look juicy because when you look at points per game margin, North Texas averages over 44 points per game. UAB's defense gives up over 37 points per game. You're talking about number two in points per game against number 132 in points per game allowed. North Texas's offense, number eight in points per scoring opportunity. UAB's defense, number 132. On the other side of the ball, North Texas's defense is not great at defending the run, and UAB, I think, can run the football. Number 21 in offensive line yards, and North Texas's defense, number 122. I think UAB will be able to put up some points here. The question is, how many points can they put up, and can they keep up with North Texas? UAB is number 83 in points per scoring opportunity. North Texas, number 88 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Turnover margin, North Texas, number 4. UAB, number 120. Like, there's a lot of things that point to North Texas being able to run them out of their own stadium. But this UAB team has been a little bit better as of late. North Texas, maybe they want to run the score up. Maybe they don't. They're looking to get into the conference championship game, is what it is. I'm going to trust the numbers. I know it feels weird, but I am going to trust the numbers. I probably should have been doing that more this year. But especially when there's, you know, a four-point gap between the two. North Texas is doing all this against the number 126 current strength of schedule. I think it's too many points. I will bet on UAB. Man, that feels weird. Yeah, I'll take UAB plus 18.5. I think the number is too big. And this allows it to where, you know, that total was 70.5. It's come down to 69.5. I don't trust my totals as far as G14 or G6, G5, whatever it is, teams. But, you know, I can cover this game with North Texas winning by 17, 18, you know, give me a 48-30 kind of game, and that might make sense. Give me a 41-24, something like that, and I could totally see UAB putting up 24 points. I could see that. So that is what I will do here. Give me the Blazers at home to cover the big number. 3:30 p.m. Central Time on the CW, and Wake Forest is hosting North Carolina. We got a rivalry game going on with this one. Wake is currently a 6 to 6.5 point home favorite, total of 38.5 on this one, and that one has come down. 39.5 was the total at first, and people are betting the under quite a bit. Last 4 weeks, I would have Wake Forest favored by 3.5. Power rating, I would have Wake Forest by 6.6. Projected stat spread has Wake Forest by 7.66. The North Carolina offense is still not good. We'll start off on that side of the ball. They are number 117 in points allowed or points per scoring opportunity. Wake Forest is number 22 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. But as good as this Wake Forest defense is, on the other side, the North Carolina defense is pretty good. Wake Forest, pretty balanced as far as run-pass, but they do run it over 50% of the time. They pass it less than that, obviously. But they're not good at any of it. They're number 121 in PPA per drive. North Carolina, number 43 in PPA allowed per drive. And when it comes to points per scoring opportunity, Wake Forest, number 132 in points per scoring opportunity. North Carolina, number 14 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. So, Wake Forest can't finish drives. North Carolina good at defending it. On the other side, North Carolina can't finish drives. Wake Forest good at defending it. I'm not expecting a ton of points here. North Carolina better in special teams. Number 52 in special teams efficiency. North Carolina is the more talented team. Wake Forest plays better together. Wake Forest is 3-2 against the spread at home. North Carolina 3-1 against the spread plus 1.8. on the road. So North Carolina plays better on the road. Wake is 3-2, not great. They're 6-3 against the number overall. I think this one could surprise people. Wake Forest, they've already reached bowl eligibility. Big win. It's a letdown spot maybe after a big win over Virginia. North Carolina needs two more wins to get to a bowl game in Bill Belichick's first season. I don't know that they win the game, but I do think that Wake Forest is not great, and I wonder if they would have been able to win that game against Virginia last week if the quarterback did not get hurt. I still think Jay Dickert is a great coach. You take advantage of opportunities when you get them, but I think North Carolina is talented enough and playing well enough that they can hang around here. So I think 6.5, a little too much. I'll take the dog. Even on the road, give me the Tar Heels, plus 6.5. Game 13, and we head to the Big Ten. This one, 6 p.m. Central Time on FS1. Purdue heads to Washington, and Washington a 16.5 to 17-point favorite, depending on the book. 53.5 is your total here. And good gracious, Purdue has, I talked all year about their baseline competency, and that's what we got here. This is a competent football team. They're number 12 in current strength of schedule, so they have played a really difficult schedule thus far. They got to go all the way out to the West Coast for this one. They are 2-8 straight up. They are 4-5 against the spread overall, but 1-2-1 away from home. The only cover on the road was against Michigan. Now you're going to a pretty pissed off Washington team. Lost last week to Wisconsin. It kind of depends on how they end up responding to that loss. Because you played in the snow. Washington is not great against the spread on the road. 4-5 against the spread overall. They are 3-2 against the spread at home, but they are plus 8.6. So they do play a little bit better at home than on the road, and vice versa for Purdue. I will say that. Massive talent gap between these two. Washington number 27, Purdue number 67. Washington only number 113 in special teams efficiency. Purdue number 13. Purdue number 127 in turnover margin. Washington number 49. And you start diving into, you know, five factors rank. There's not a huge difference between them. Washington number 31 and Purdue number 65. But this offense for Washington should be able to do basically whatever they want to against this Purdue defense. On the other side, Purdue is okay. They are number 88 in PPA per drive on offense, but Washington is number 52. So as far as finishing drives, Purdue number 68 in points per scoring opportunity. Washington's defense is, Purdue is number 68 in points allowed per scoring opportunity on defense. Washington is number 26 on offense. On the other side, Washington number 52 in points allowed per scoring opportunity on defense. Purdue is number 103 on offense. So even though Purdue can move the football, they're still number 115 in points per game at 20.9. Washington is number 28 in points allowed per game. I think they're going to be able to put up points here. I think that they can stop Purdue. Yeah, my number on this has Washington by 16.5, so I'm right on the number. Power rating has Washington by 12. Last 4 weeks has Washington by almost 16.5. So I'm right there on that number. I trust Washington at home in this one. I'll take the Huskies. Best number I can get is minus 16.5. Give me Washington.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started. Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
Five more games to go. Let me go ahead and tell you right quick, if you haven't already, check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. You can get all of these stat graphics for every single FBS versus FBS matchup, along with our matchup comparison tool, all of my official plays, etc. So go ahead, do me a favor, check that out. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year. buymeacoffee.com/winningcures, or the easy link is bettingcfb.com. Game number 14, 6 p.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network. Utah State heads to UNLV. Mountain West action, of course. And UNLV favored by 6 to 6.5, total of 71 to 71.5, depending on which book. PPA margin on the year, UNLV is 55, Utah State is 63. These two teams, pretty good. UNLV is 7-2 on the year, straight up. Utah State 5-4 against the spread. 5-4 straight up, 7-2 against the spread. So Broncos bunch really covering pretty nicely. Utah State 2-2 against the spread on the road. UNLV 1-3 against the spread at home. Pretty crazy numbers. No real advantage either way. UNLV number 10 in turnover margin. Utah State number 30. Both teams are number 114 in penalties per game. Utah State number 80 in special teams efficiency. UNLV is number 43. The UNLV offense should be able to run the football almost at will here. A Dan Mullen offense is going to be able to run the football. But especially when you're looking at Utah State, who is number 120 in rushing success allowed. They're number 99 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. And they are number 120 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. UNLV is number 21. So this UNLV offense is going to put up points. Hence, I mean, it makes sense, right? You got a total in the 70s. Just ridiculous. On the other side, the UNLV defense, really bad. Number 117 in PPA allowed per drive. Utah State is number 46. Now, there is a big difference in strength of schedule. UNLV number 123, Utah State number 57. This thing, again, is at UNLV minus 6 to minus 6.5. I think that whatever Utah State wants to do, they'll be able to do it on offense. They're not great at running the football, number 91 in rushing success rate, but they are number 33 in rushing explosiveness. UNLV is number 132 in rushing explosiveness allowed. Utah State is number 3 in points per scoring opportunity. UNLV's defense is number 100. You know, again, on the other side, UNLV's offense number 21 in points per scoring opportunity. Utah State number 120 on defense. Neither team is going to get a lot of stops. And when you get a game like that, a spread of almost a touchdown is a little bit crazy. Not to mention the fact that UNLV does not cover at home. My power rating has UNLV by 4.6. My projected stat spread has UNLV by 5.24. My last 4 weeks has UNLV minus 2.5. All of the numbers agree. This thing went from 4.5 up to 6.5. Unless I'm missing an injury of some type, and I looked beforehand, I didn't see anything official. But I think Utah State's going to be able to score and keep this thing close. They could win the game outright. So if we're looking at a coin flip kind of game, and yet I've got a spread of 6.5 on this, I'll go with the dog. Give me Bronco. Bronco Mendenhall and the Utah State Aggies plus 6.5. NBC, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, the Ohio State Buckeyes are going to host the UCLA Bruins, and you want to talk about a mismatch. Yikes. Good gracious. Ohio State favored by 31.5 to 33.5, depending on the book. Nobody can seem to come to grips, but that's in no man's land. It's not a. There's no key numbers there. 48.5 to 49 is the total. My projected stat spread has Ohio State by 33.4. My last 4 weeks has Ohio State by 33.5, and my power rating has Ohio State by 25.6. So, we're looking at a potential score of about 42.5 to 9. Interesting, to say the least. How much does Ohio State want to run this thing up? You know, the UCLA magic that we saw, you know, in the middle of the year, that thing is gone. Defensive success rate for UCLA is number 135. They're number 126 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. Number 108 in predicted points added margin, PPA margin. Ohio State is number 1. Ohio State's number 16 in defensive success rate, number 4 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. does Ohio State care? Or are you just kind of feeling it out, right? Ohio State 7-1 against the spread so far this year. 4-0-1 against the spread at home. They were plus 8.7. UCLA, 2-2 against the spread on the road, plus 0.9. I mean, your first half point margin, number 5 for Ohio State, number 113 for UCLA, number 9 in 5 factors ranked for Ohio State, number 122 for UCLA. UCLA can't score on offense, number 105 in points per scoring opportunity. Ohio State's defense is number 3. Turnover margin, UCLA number 88, Ohio State number 25. Penalties per game, UCLA number 134, Ohio State number 10. And yet there is a part of me that just thinks, man, Ohio State does not give a rip about this game. Like, maybe you could point to the fact that UCLA has Nico, right? Nico Iamilieva. I hope I said that right. And he did play in Columbus last year, but also you're playing in Columbus in November. We saw what the California quarterback did, and by Cali quarterback, I'm talking about Nico, in the playoff last year. And they just got demolished. Now, this is a little bit of a different Ohio State team, but they are number 3 in points per game margin. UCLA is number 122 in points per game margin. I mean, the number is outrageous, but the best number I can get right now is 31.5. Like, I'll take the favorites. I'll take the Buckeyes. There's nothing UCLA has done that makes me believe that Ohio State won't be able to score at will. Their pace of play has actually come up a little bit, 114, and they're trusting Julian Sayin to throw the football a little bit more, and now they're almost to 47% passes. I don't think there's anybody on UCLA that can slow down Ohio State's offense at all. And it's not even that Ohio State has to run the football. They are going to smoke these guys. It just depends on how many points they really want to score. And even the backups, I think, are still going to be able to score on UCLA. So, yeah, this is – it's a big number. I don't think it matters. Ohio State minus 31.5 is the way we're going on the show. 6:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on the ACC Network. Florida State hosts Virginia Tech. And yes, Mike Norvell is still the head coach. No, Brent Pry is not the head coach of Virginia Tech. They have played significantly better since they moved to Philip Montgomery as the interim coach. Now, do I believe that that's who's going to be the overall head coach, the permanent head coach? No. A lot of smoke around James Franklin with this job. Florida State favored by 13.5 to 14 here, total of 54.5 to 55 on it. Virginia Tech 2-6 or 2-6-1 against the spread overall. They are 1-1 against the spread on the road. Only 2 road games thus far. One of the games was a neutral site game, but very interesting to say the least. Florida State 4-2 against the spread at home. They are plus 12.6. So, with the game being in Tallahassee, I kind of got to go with Florida State, it feels like. At least I trust them more, which is insane to think about. First half point margin, Florida State number 29 in the country. Virginia Tech number 101. 5 factors rank. Florida State, even at 4-5, they are number 28 in 5 factors. Virginia Tech's number 108. Let's look at when Florida State has the ball. They are still number 15 in PPA per drive on offense. They go pretty fast. They're number 12 in pace of play. Virginia Tech is number 61. And this Virginia Tech defense is number 125 in PPA allowed per drive. They are bad at everything. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. Thomas Castellanos is, he should have a really good day here. Should. This is not a team that's a ball-hawking team. They're number 112 in interceptions gained per pass attempt defended. They're number 125 in fumbles gained per rushing attempt defended. So Florida State's turnover trouble shouldn't be an issue here. Shouldn't be. Obviously, who knows? That number is 13.5 to 14, depending on the book. It opened at Florida State minus 10.5. My last 4 weeks has Florida State minus almost 15. My power rating has Florida State minus 13.3. My projected stat spread has Florida State minus 18. Virginia Tech had a nice bounce back, and then they have not played well. That's putting it mildly. The Virginia Tech defense, number 128 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Florida State's offense is number 33. Virginia Tech's offense is number 47 in points per scoring opportunity. Florida State's defense is number 98, so you would look at that as an advantage. The issue is Virginia Tech is number 119 in scoring opportunities per game, so only 5.11 drives where they get a first down inside the opponent 40. Florida State is number 32 in scoring opportunities allowed per game. So the Florida State defense should be better than this offense. Virginia Tech's going to try and run the football, and I still think this Florida State defense is going to be able to slow them down. I don't think that's the case on the other side. I expect a win here for Florida State. I think they bounce back pretty good. I think they want to go to a bowl game. You're going to have to win two of the remaining three in order to do that, so you probably need this one quite a bit. 13.5 is still out there. I don't think it's enough. Give me the Seminoles minus 13.5. To the SEC, 6:45 p.m. Central Time on the SEC Network, and Mississippi State is heading to Missouri. Missouri favored by 7 to 7.5, depending on the book. Total of 51.5 on this one. And Missouri, of course, the freshman quarterback experiment did not go well against Texas A&M. Both of these teams were blown out by Texas A&M. Missouri, however, is now on a two-game losing streak. That's certainly not good. And they didn't look good against Auburn in the game before that. But Mississippi State, they need one more win to get to bowl eligibility, but they are banged up. This team is beat up. They got destroyed at home by Georgia last week. Had a brain fart there. State 3-1 against the spread on the road. Missouri 3-3-1 against the spread at home. So State seems to play better on the road. And let's start when State is on offense. State is number 14 in points per scoring opportunity. Missouri's defense number 92. Okay. Missouri's offense number 27 in points per scoring opportunity. The issue is that these numbers for Missouri were from way earlier in the season. My power rating has Missouri by 7. Last 4 weeks has Missouri by 14.76. However, I don't know if they can score. They're going to run the football a lot, and State can't defend the run. But on the other side, State, I think, is going to throw. They'll be able to run it some on Missouri's defense. Can they throw it on Missouri's defense? You know, passing explosiveness, Mississippi State number 41, Missouri's defense number 53. If Missouri can get after the quarterback, I don't know that State scores a lot either, but I'm just not expecting a ton of points here. This thing was at 51.5. It's still sitting at 51.5. I've got a total of 50, well, a little over 50. Even as banged up as they are, it feels like Mississippi State is going to, they're going to try their best here. I know that sounds so cliche, ridiculous. I think this could be a close game because I do not trust Missouri's offense to be able to put up points. Like, again, they should still be able to run the football. They're number 15 in PPA per rush. Mississippi State's defense is number 88. Missouri number 11 in rushing success rate. Mississippi State number 125. Georgia just pounded the rock on them. But this Missouri team is not Georgia. So I'll go with the road dog again. I might feel like an idiot, but this thing got over a touchdown. I'll buy back the other way. Give me Mississippi State plus 7.5. Last game for the show, this one 9:30 p.m. Central Time at God's Time Zone on CBS Sports Network. San Diego State is hosting Boise State here. San Diego State, a 2.5-point favorite, 3 in some places, with a total of 41.5. I'll go on and tell you, my last 4 weeks number has Boise by almost 20 points. My projected stat spread has Boise by 1. My power rating has San Diego State by 0.5. However, Boise is without their starting quarterback, Maddox Madsen. He will be out for this game. What does that mean for the Boise State offense? San Diego State got boat raced at Hawaii last week. It was the first real passing offense that they have faced. If you are limited and you cannot throw the football, you are running into a whole world of hurt with the San Diego State Aztec team. So Sean Lewis's bunch, fantastic against the pass, yes, but fantastic against the run more so. And Boise has not been great running the football. Number 104 in rushing success rate, San Diego State's defense number 5. Offensive line yards, San Diego State number 38 in offensive line yards allowed. Boise number 82. This Boise line of scrimmage, really on both sides of the ball, has not been great this year. Boise 6-3, straight up. San Diego State is 7-2. San Diego State 4-0 against the spread at home, plus 23.5. Boise is 2-1-1 against the spread on the road. They are minus 7.6. Boise number 104 in giveaways per game. That is a nightmare against this team. And you have to believe that San Diego State is chomping at the bit to get back on the field after last week. I don't think that San Diego State is going to try and throw the football very much. They're not good at it. They throw picks, all that. I think they can run the football on Boise. And I don't expect a ton of points here, but we don't need a ton of points to be able to cover. San Diego State's defense, I think, can win this game for them. They're number 2 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Boise's offense, number 66. On the other side, you know, San Diego State, number 99 in points per scoring opportunity, but they are going against Boise, who is number 102 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Yeah, San Diego State, I think, is just the better football team. You know, even talent-wise, they're pretty close. So, while everybody typically loves Boise, I will take San Diego State. Minus the 2.5. I think they bounced back after a pitiful showing on the island last week. Aztecs minus 2.5 is the go for this show. All right, week 12 recap time. Let's go ahead and give you all the picks thus far from today's show. Don't forget about the other two shows, the weeknight games and the 10 biggest games. Today we got Indiana minus 30.5, South Carolina plus 19.5. Arizona plus 6.5, LSU minus 5.5, West Virginia plus 11.5, UCF plus 24, Miami minus 14.5, Penn State minus 7, Maryland plus 15.5, App State plus 21.5, UAB plus 18.5, North Carolina plus 6.5, Washington minus 16.5, Utah State plus 6.5, Ohio State minus 31.5, Florida State minus 13.5, Mississippi State plus 17.5, and San Diego State minus 2.5. If you haven't already, like the video, jump in the comments there. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Over 50% of the people that watch us are not subscribed. It's free. Help a brother out. That's all you got to do. Just click that subscribe button, click the like button. I would certainly appreciate that. And of course, if you want to support the show, you can do that financially by becoming a member at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. You get all of these stat graphics. You get all of my official plays. There's a nice community over there as well. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with it, and you can only get some of this stuff over there. So buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. I think that's going to do it for this week. I'm tired. It's late. I've had all kind of things going on personally football season is important. Family's more important. It is what it is. All right. You guys are fantastic. I appreciate all of you for supporting, all of you for watching. If you got to this point in the video, you the real MVP, as Kevin Durant would say. But for now, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment. Follow at GaryWCE on X and check out the web store.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.